Welcome to the first ever intercultural podcast. Absolutely Intercultural is the name, and as far as we know, this is actually the first podcast in the world to deal with intercultural issues. We'll be releasing a new episode every second Friday evening, looking at all intercultural aspects of human intercultural communication. For example, we'll be hearing from students on foreign work placements, looking at intercultural aspects of the forthcoming World Cup, asking how teachers can make use of intercultural exercises and simulations in their classrooms, and, of course, sharing with you any intercultural gossip we come across. Absolutely Intercultural won't be so much about passing on information, but more about starting an intercultural dialogue between the makers and you, the contributors and the listeners. So join in the conversation. The rest is just bits and bytes. The podcast will be made by Anne and me, and we've just met in Leon in Spain to prepare the concept. We've even recorded a little intro for you.
Hi, my name is Anne Fox.
And my name is Laurent Borgmann.
I work in Denmark at Grenaa Handelsskool, though I am in fact British.
And I work in Koblenz at the University of Applied Sciences in Koblenz in Germany.
Laurent and I have been working for about 4 years now in European projects, and that's when I started to get involved in intercultural matters.
Yes, and on those projects we've done intensive seminars, but we've also done some online teaching together.
We're meeting now in Leon in Spain, and we're working on an intercultural project and decided it might be a good idea to share our experiences and perhaps also to find out about other people's experiences.
Well, and we thought that rather than doing a blog or a web page as we've done in the past, this time we go audio.
Yes, and what you'll be hearing will be intercultural reports about news and gossip, personal experiences, and also a little bit of intercultural background.
And we're ready to go online every 2 weeks, we hope. So look out for it, and we hope to reach out to you and to hear about your intercultural experiences.
That's right. My name is Carsten. I work at the University of Applied Science in Remagen, and I'm gonna be more behind the screen than behind the mic, though you might occasionally hear my voice on this podcast. We're working pretty hard right now to get our first real show together, and I can promise you it's gonna be full of interesting stories. Dot, for example, who's British but lives in Sweden, will tell us about the tapas culture in Spain. We've got heartbreaking gossip about a Lithuanian basketball player who's about to marry his girlfriend from Israel. And we've got all sorts of things prepared to make you absolutely intercultural. Please check out our blog on www.absolutely-intercultural.com. That's absolutely-intercultural.com. There you'll find more information about the hosts. You can find the show notes for every show we do. There'll also be pictures from wherever we are podcasting and much, much more to check out. Well, thanks for listening, and please stay tuned.
Right, Carsten already mentioned the tapas culture in Leon, so let's take a closer look at what tapas are and how they are integrated into the Spanish culture. Anaïs, who is from Andalusia in the south of Spain, will tell us a bit more about this. It was so loud in the bar that I almost lost my voice, as you will hear.
Okay, there's a lot of noise here, and I've got Anaïs with me, and I would like you to explain a little bit where we are and why it's so noisy.
Hi, we are in Leon. We're in a tapas bar. It's Thursday evening, and that is why it's so noisy. It's so crowded in here.
You call this a tapas bar? Maybe you can explain to us what tapas are.
Tapas are small quantities of food, so you can try a lot of different foods.
Okay, and I've been told that actually we don't have to pay for that. How can that be?
Because here up north and in some places in the south too, you just order your drink and the tapa will come along with your drink.
Wow, that's really good. So that means you can go around and have drinks and you always get a tapa with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, are you from this part of the world?
No, I am from Spain, but I am from very down south in Spain, from Andalusia.
And I guess you have the same system there?
No, we don't, actually. We order our drinks and separately we order our tapas, so it's different. And we pay for them, but we eat more because each of the people get one.
Okay, well, I must rush off. I must get a new drink and I guess we get a new tapa. Will we get something different here or will we get the same thing again?
We will get something different every time we order a drink.
I'm Susanne. I'm from north of Copenhagen in Denmark, and we are on the tapas route here in León in Spain, and it is an amazing experience. I've had fried potatoes and sausage and ham and mussels, and now we're having soup for tapas. And well, the soup we get in an individual little ration, but the rest you have in one shared dish that people eat with toothpicks. And if there are olives for the tapas, you are supposed to throw the pebbles, the stones from the olives on the floor.
Okay, we're in the last bar now, and as you can hear, it's getting louder and louder in the evening. I'm standing here with somebody from Sweden, so I'm talking to Dot. Dot, tell us something about your experience with the tapas.
The amazing thing about the tapas experience in León is that for every bar you go to, you buy a very small drink and you get food to go along with it. So in fact, you don't need to go out to a restaurant and eat at all. And by the time you've moved on to the next bar, you've walked a full 2 or 3 meters, so you're terribly hungry again.
Do you think that this would be a concept which could also work in Sweden?
Very difficult question. I doubt it somehow, because in the winter it would be impossible, because you'd have to put on so many clothes to go out and then go in again and then go out again that you'd hardly have time to have a drink or eat any tapas. So it wouldn't work, no.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I'm sure you're getting hungry right now, but we've got more to come, so you'll have to wait, I'm afraid. I asked Dot some more questions about her general impressions about Spain. For Dot, who is British but who lives in Sweden, Spain is quite a change from her home, as you will hear.
I was born in Britain. I moved to Sweden at the age of 24 and have lived there for more than half my life now. Married to a Swede and have three bicultural children. Sorry about that. And at the moment, I'm involved in some European projects, so I get out and about quite a lot around Europe.
Wow, that sounds interesting. Now, is this your first day to Spain? You say you're traveling on these European projects. Do you have any cultural impressions of Spain that you will take home, sort of like a souvenir that you take home in your suitcase?
Well, I would say the souvenir would have to be the tapas bars in the city of León. It's been a wonderful experience in the evenings, going around having a glass of wine and tasting the specialities from the region. But there are some things I wonder about. I was thoroughly expecting to experience the Spanish siesta, for example. This is what everybody's heard about, that the Spaniards close shop in the middle of the day and go to sleep, basically. And then they can be up late in the evenings and go to the tapas bars. I had decided that I would cope with this, although coming from Sweden, where we get up early and go to bed early, I wasn't sure how I'd cope, but I was going to make a good try at it.
So, what was the experience when you were here in the town? I know I had one experience which I want to share with you. I went out, I wanted to collect my washing, but this was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I realized I couldn't get my washing at that time because everything was closed, actually. So I thought, well, to kill the time, I go to a restaurant. I went to a tapas bar, which also had a restaurant at the back. And I was told by the person I could have tapas, but of course I couldn't have anything to eat because, of course, it was lunchtime. So, of course, I couldn't eat anything. So what was your experience?
Well, yes, I agree. It seems to me that lunch is always eaten at home. People leave work at about 2 o'clock, having started work at 8-ish or 9-ish, because the streets are full of people at that time of the day. Then I know for a fact that they eat what they call a second breakfast at about 11:30. 2 o'clock, yes, the shops close down, everybody disappears briefly. Well, briefly, they go home apparently, and they have a sort of three-course meal with wine and water. Which takes hours. I do know that. It goes on and on and on. And this is when I thought they took the siesta. But no, they're so busy eating. There isn't time for a siesta. Then it's time to get back to work again.
So do you think, in fact, this is something which doesn't happen any longer, that people actually go to bed? So people just take the time off work to relax, to eat, well, maybe also to be with their families?
I suspect that this is true now. I know that they sort of stop at about 7 o'clock or so and give the kids a snack if they've got children at home. And then it's on with the evening and the tapas rounds again. And people are out and about until 12 or 1 o'clock at night, so it seems to me they sleep, on average, 5 or 6 hours a night. And I really don't know why this is, especially, as I say, coming from Sweden, where we need so much sleep. I don't know what it's got to do with. Is it the climate? Or is it just the fact that people are having to work harder, even in Spain?
Okay, you've been here for a week, so that is apparently not enough to find out about this mystery, when the Spanish actually get their sleep. I had the same impression, actually. I have the impression that they're always on their feet, they're very busy, they're always running around until late at night. I have a feeling that maybe we are seeing different people in the morning from the people in the evening. So maybe it's not the same group of people, but we'll carry on trying to find out. Thank you very much for speaking to us.
Thank you.
So now it's over to you, the listeners. Maybe you have made your own experiences with the Spanish siesta and can help us solve the mystery. How do Spanish people actually survive with so little sleep, we ask ourselves? If you have an idea or know the answer, please go to our website and share your experiences with us. Now, next in line is some hot gossip from Lithuania. Indra wants to share with us what has dominated the news in her country and in Israel over the last few weeks.
Today I have very special love here for you. That story about the couple who is going to marry, but we are of different religion. And my name is Indra Česnakovskaita. I'm from Lithuania. So here we are. Well, a few last weeks in our countries with the hottest news on TV, on radio, in newspapers and magazines was about our basketball player Šarūnas Jasikevičius, who is now playing in NBA. And a couple years ago he was playing for Israel, for Tel Aviv's Maccabi. And he has girlfriend who is from Israel, and she's Miss World 99th, and we're going to marry. But the problem is that Rabin in Israel blamed the girl that she wants to marry man of another religion. And he even asked her to force future husband to change his religion. Well, poor basketball player. Now he has enemies or in Israel or in Lithuania. Thank you for listening my gossips from Lithuania.
Although Absolutely Intercultural is actually the first podcast ever that deals completely with intercultural issues, there are others out there which regularly pick up some intercultural topics. So let's wrap up this first show with a short snippet from the Barb and Rob show. Barb is from America, Rob is from Britain. They are wondering what to call children from mixed marriages, in fact their own, in this case Japanese-British and Japanese-American. So let's listen to their show, which is very entertaining and, in fact, one of my favorites.
I'm not Japan bashing. I love Japan. I live here. My wife's Japanese. My son's Japanese.
By the way, isn't your son half Japanese?
Half Japanese,
half American, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Do you mind calling if people say that your son's half? Like, oh,
no,
he's half.
I don't mind.
Because a lot of foreigners living here have problems with it because
it's
like you're looking at the negative.
Well, yeah, there isn't really another.
How about mixed race?
Well, for me, that's a question of semantics. It's neither is.
That sounds awfully strange.
I think the alternative is just a bit long. He's a product of an interracial marriage. So it's a bit long, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think probably the best expression would be, he's bicultural.
Okay, I think it's time to wrap up the show for today. I'm glad you joined us for the show number one. We'll see you again in 2 weeks' time on Friday the 7th of April. If you're interested in some details or links that we mentioned on the show, you'll find all of that in the information in the show notes. So check out our website at www.absolutelyintercultural.com. absolutely-intercultural.com. That is absolutely-intercultural.com. There you will also see our Frapper map, where we invite you to put your pin so that we can see where our listeners are. And then please also send us some feedback. The address is contact@absolutely-intercultural.com. So from the AI show in Lyon, north of Spain, it's time to go. I want to say thank you to my co-host Anne and to our chief editor, the Podcasten. My own name is Laurent, and I'm going to see you again in 2 weeks' time when we'll broadcast our next show, this time from Denmark. Till then, make sure that you stay absolutely intercultural.